Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Awaiting the great Brian Batko. Even as we speak here, Jerry Dulac with an interesting item in his weekly chat, which is must read at postgazette.com. Somebody asked about the difference between Cordero and Najee the other day, and it was stark, no pun intended. I mean, you're running essentially the same plays for two different backs in similar scenarios, down and distance situations, all that. One guy is breaking free and making big yards on every carry, even when you think you know it's coming. And the other guy's averaging 1 yard a carry. And Jerry says, we see the difference when Jaylen Warren's in the game too. He's obviously referencing a healthy Jaylen Warren. And Dulac says, maybe that's why the Steelers wanted to see how Najee would fit in Arthur Smith's offense. The reason they quietly gave for not picking up his fifth year option. So he's saying, based on, I guess, what people told him, that not giving Najee the fifth-year option was about their wonderings if he would fit in Arthur Smith's run scheme. That's interesting stuff. Little limitless wonder. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that is fascinating because especially I'm just blown away, Joe, that Cordero Patterson, other than maybe it was the first game against Atlanta, his former team, ironically, has been the better of the back in shorter spurts, at least.
He was the other day. I mean, listen, Najee's first three games, I thought he was effective at times. He had 70, 69, and 70 yards. In one of those games against Denver, he averaged over 4 yards a carry. He wasn't that far off what he usually does, and he might have exceeded it for early in the season, averaging 70 yards a game. So I'm not sure I'm ready to leap to this conclusion yet that he's a horrible fit for Arthur Smith's offense. But man, it was eye-opening to watch two guys under the same set of circumstances have such different results in that game. It was like right there in front of your eyes. What is happening here? Why is one guy busting through the line, getting there pretty quickly, and making huge yards even when they should know what's coming? And the other guy is getting there at a glacial pace and making barely one, count them limits, 1 yard per carry.
Well, and two or three times in the game, it was, okay, Cordero Patterson breaks off a 13-yard run. Cordero Patterson breaks off a 14-yard run. Najee Harris comes in next play, 1 yard run, back to the line. And
yes,
that happened twice.
That's what I just tried to articulate. Did I fail in that mission?
No. I was just trying to further confirm
it. This is unbelievable, Batko. I say something and then city limits repeats it. Did you just hear that?
Yeah, such a stark departure from you two singing in harmony to open the show today while I was on my way down to Steelers practice.
Did you enjoy that?
I put that song on immediately.
What? What'd you say?
I put on that Come Together song immediately. I tuned you guys out and I put that song on.
Yeah, the Youngbloods. Neither one of us can figure out why, with all that brilliance into one song, they never had another one, not even a partial hit. What is happening there, Brian?
I love one-hit wonders, Joe. As an adolescent, I can remember watching VH1, I think it was, had like the 100 greatest one-hit wonders.
Yes.
Man, what I wouldn't give to go back and I could probably find that on YouTube or something, but I might just do that next time I'm bored.
Yeah, the guy from Starsky and Hutch, David Soule, had a one-hit wonder. Don't give up on us, baby. Remember that one?
And then Ben Stiller sings that song in the Starsky and Hutch movie remake, I'm pretty sure.
Does he?
I think so, yeah. I loved that movie growing up, too.
Yeah, that was a good one. Who are some other ones, Brian? Sports or otherwise, well, one-hit wonders, that we have you on the line.
I think number one on that list was the guys who sang the Macarena because it was such a big hit. But I don't really revisit that song very often.
Well, Limits mentioned the one that's number one on the list I'm looking at, which is Dexy's Midnight Riders or Runners.
Oh,
Come On, Eileen.
Yes.
Come on, Eileen.
Yes, that's a classic. Yeah. That is a classic.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Spirit in the Sky. Let me name a one-hit wonder, and you go against limits and tell me who performed this. Are you guys ready for this, Brian?
Let's do this. Yes.
Spirit in the Sky.
Norman Greenbaum.
Oh, my God.
That's a great poll right
and
there.
And he's not cheating. He's in his car again. We can see him. He doesn't have the internet in front of him. This man is a genius. How about Sugar Sugar? Anyone?
Ooh.
No, I know the song. I don't know the artist.
The Archies.
Baby Bash.
No, The Archies. How about Stumbling In? I love that song. I really
know that
do.
One.
That's Chris Norman and somebody whose name I can't pronounce. Susie Quattro? This is unbelievable. Are the 85 Bears a one-hit wonder, Brian?
Well, they only won one ring, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
How about a one-hit wonder from Steelers history, team or player? Tommy Maddox, a one-hit wonder?
Ooh, yeah. I would have to look at his career stats, but that's definitely a good one. Kendrell Bell, your boy.
Great call. How about Barry Foster? I know he might have had two good years, but he had one great, great year. Is he a good call?
Yeah, that was a little before my time, so I'm not sure. But Kendrell Bell sticks in my mind for sure. Duck Hodges.
Duck Hodges is the all-time one hit. It wasn't even a one hit. It was half a hit. He stopped yeah. in the middle of his song.
Four-game hit.
Half a season.
Were you at his first game? His first start in it wasn't even San Diego. It was a soccer stadium in like L.A.
Oh, yeah. It was L.A. I was not there for that one.
The most amazing football game
that weekend
I've ever covered. I couldn't believe it. It was basically what there are high school stadiums around here literally nicer than the stadium they played in that night. It was unbelievable that a nationally televised NFL game was being played in that place. You could go down the street, wherever you are listening right now, to your local high school stadium, and it would have been on par with that place. It was mind-boggling. And he was good in that game. You know who else was good that night? One Devin Bush. Lest you forget, Brian. You look wonderful today.
He may have been a one-hit wonder. Thanks, Joe.
We've come full circle. Devin Bush was a one-hit wonder, Limits. He had a really good rookie year. He got votes for Defensive Rookie of the Year.
And that was it.
That's why we pay Brian the big bucks. How about Devontae Adams? Should they and will they pursue him heavily?
Oh, I don't know about heavily, but I think you have to look into it. You owe it to yourself to look into it because of just how putrid the receiving supporting cast behind George Pickens has been so far this season. And I think they will. I mean, how can you doubt that they would call on him, given how interested we know they were in Brandon Ayuk? I think there's going to be, Joe, 7 to 10 teams interested in him. And I think the Steelers would be in that mix because we know there are a few things, a few needles you need to thread here. Number one, he says he wants to go to a winner. So, I would assume that the Raiders and he are getting along well enough that they'll sort of accommodate him there and not ship him off to the Panthers like Deontay Johnson. But also, you're going to need a team with either a lot of cap space or that's willing to give a lot of draft compensation for the Raiders to eat some of that cap hit. And third, it sounds like he's going to want to play with a quarterback who he's at least familiar with or intrigued by. So I don't know where Justin Fields is for him on that front, but I think if he's paying any attention to what he's done so far, the Steelers could check all three of those boxes.
Did the plane that took Deontay Johnson to Carolina fly backwards, Brian? Did you ever get a report on that?
No, I'm not sure about that one, Joe. But he's actually had a couple good games in a row now, catching passes.
I know,
we
should have drafted him, but City Limits refused on our fantasy team.
Move. He might be on the move on this trade market, too, if you heard Schefter the other day on
really
what station it was. But, yeah, he said he thinks he'll get traded because he's in the last year of his deal, and you know, Carolina's probably not going to want to extend him.
Would you take him back as a rental?
So that's actually not allowed. Ian Rapoport unearthed this sort of, I guess, obscure NFL rule that if you trade a player, you can't trade back for him or acquire him back via trade within 2 or 3 years. I think it is because people were wondering if the Jets would send Hassan Reddick back to Philly, and it turns out that's not even allowed, which I understand. You can't get into a situation where GMs are colluding and effectively letting teams rent players out to you and having underhanded deals. So even if the Steelers wanted to, and I don't think they would, they are legally mandated by the NFL not allowed to reacquire Deontay Johnson in a trade.
Holy bird milk. Did you know that, Limits?
No, I did not know that.
Brian Bacco, a fountain of information today. You can read his stuff at the Post-Gazette. Great stuff. Postgazette.com. So, lots to talk about here. We'll get to the quarterbacks. Of course we will. But Patrick Queen, he's a little bit concerning through four games, especially game number four. We're not going to be calling him Devin Queen or Patrick Bush by the end of the season, are we?
Oh, man. I would hope not. I thought that was a really good free agent signing by the Steelers. The one fear that I had in that category, Joe, was I think the Ravens are probably one of the smartest, shrewdest organizations in the league and are pretty good about player acquisition and sort of like the Steelers have been for years. You don't see a lot of players leave Baltimore and go on and all of a sudden have a ton of success. But I also knew that they had a young guy who was a second or third round pick recently, Trent Simpson, ready to step up and be another inside linebacker next to Roquan Smith. So I kind of figured just didn't make sense for them to pay big money to Patrick Queen. I mean, I give him credit for taking accountability for a lot of the communication errors in the Colts game. He said he wasn't getting the calls out to everybody, making sure they were all on the same page. So I still think that he'll be okay. But yeah, I mean, the first quarter of the season or almost quarter of the season, he hasn't really been the type of every down stalwart that they expected him to be. Robert Spillane is having a better season right now for the Raiders, I believe.
Yeah, I'm certainly not willing to write this off by any means. I'm just not sure he's the kind of player stylistically that I thought he was. And man, I keep thinking about this interview we did with Rob Long from 105.7 in Baltimore. Take a listen to this, Brian. This was this one. I think even drew a social media reaction from Patrick himself. This was right after they signed Patrick Queen. This was Rob Long. Are the Steelers in Patrick Queen getting merely a good player, a game changer, or a guy whose success is largely attributable to playing next to Roquan Smith?
It's funny you call me because I've never been a Patrick Queen fan. Never. And I'm not saying that because he went to the Steelers and the sour grapes. I even brought this conversation up last week on our show because I read somewhere Patrick Queen will be the ultimate luxury for the Steelers and asking Ravens fans how they would feel about that. Patrick Queen was a guy, and this is a true story. Wide receivers avoid linebackers. I can't remember what receiver it was. I remember 2 or 3 years ago, a wide receiver was about to step out of bounds, saw Patrick Queen, turned it up, challenged him, and picked up the first down. Wide receivers don't do that to linebackers. Inside, outside, they just don't. And they did it to him. He was moved to the weaker position before Roquan Smith was traded to the Ravens. People think he was moved after. No, it was before. And he wasn't as successful. And then when Roquan came, he became a different player. Does that make him a bad guy? No, no. No, it doesn't. But it just means that I don't think you can rely on him to be the guy. You know, I mean, Edgerrin Hartwell made a lot of money, took a lot of money from Atlanta. And when he got there, they realized, wait a minute, we didn't get Ray Lewis with him. I think, I'm hoping that you don't, just for the sake of, not for the sake of the Steelers, I don't care about the Steelers, it's more so for the sake of Patrick Queen because he's a good guy. He's a good guy. So for his sake, I'm hoping that he learns something from Roquan and he can incorporate that in his game and become the guy. I just don't think he is.
Thoughts, Brian?
Well, I thought that was a pretty fair assessment by him, if a little harsh. I mean, he basically called Patrick Queen soft with that anecdote that he told there. And I go on that station pretty often, too, not with Rob Long, but with Vinny Serrato, former Commanders GM. And I think they had me on after the second or third week of the season, said, how's Queen looking? I said, well, Steelers fans are generally okay with him, but they want to see some of the splash plays. And he said, well, in Baltimore, we waited 4 years for him to produce any splash plays. So, I mean, early returns are not great. And I guess some of that concern can creep in about, hey, were you a one-hit wonder last year as an all-pro guy, or is he somebody who has figured it out? And, you know, one thing about that position is I think a lot of times it is circumstantial. You got to play within yourself, and splash plays are going to come here and there. You have to do your job, first of all. And that's what he said after the game when I asked him about why a lot of those Colts runs were hitting for big early in Indy. And he said, Too many guys were trying to be Superman. Too many guys were trying to make plays that weren't really their gap. And if we can just stop doing that, the run game against us will settle down. I don't know if he himself thought he was trying to be Superman or if he was kind of subtly pointing the finger at others, but I thought that was an interesting answer from him as well.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Limits, do you see how one-hit wonders have become the theme threading through this conversation today?
100%, yes. Where are you going with this?
Nowhere. I just wanted to note it.
Significantly noted.
Thank you.
Thank you. Come on, Eileen.
Brian Batko, read his stuff at postgazette.com. All right, let's get to the quarterbacks. Percent chance that a healthy Russell Wilson would play this weekend, I think we both would put it at zero. But if Fields struggles against the Cowboys, then what percent chance would you give Russell to play the next week?
Oh, I guess just vaguely, you know, struggles is such a difficult term. I mean, if they lose and yeah, he doesn't even play as well as he did the last couple weeks, I don't know. I mean, I'd still probably only say 15%, Joe. I think they're going to kind of roll with him through the first half of the season. This Steelers schedule is split down the middle about as evenly as you can possibly have in today's 17-game NFL. With the week 9 bye, you get 8 games, and you get your 9th week is a bye. And then you get into the meat of your schedule after that with all the divisional opponents stacked in the back end, plus the Eagles, plus the Chiefs. So I think if there were ever a team in a year where you can say, all right, this first half of the season, for whatever reason, extenuating circumstances, calf, injury, his own good performance, it became the Justin Fields show, and then we can revisit after they go, let's say, 5-3 or 6-2 or whatever, and see if we think it's time to turn the page to Russell Wilson, if that makes sense. I'm still skeptical that he's even going to be healthy enough to play within the next couple weeks, but that's been a very touch-and-go subject from everybody since day one of training camp.
15-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Brian, this morning, last night, I was thinking about writing a piece on Minka. And where have the turnovers gone? What are we paying him for here? And I understand he's asked to play a lot of different roles. Mulsey had hair the last time this guy had an interception, and a fumble recovery was like 3 years ago. But then I said to myself, I need to educate myself more on why that's happening and what he's being asked to do. So I went back and looked at a story from Dr. Michael DeFabo from The Athletic before the season. He talked about how Minka was in the box a lot last year, was in coverage a lot last year, or a lot, only 8 snaps per game in the box, 7.7, that type of thing. Asked to do a lot of things. He quoted Terrell Austin as saying, you know, we have to put him in better positions to be a center fielder. So my question for you is, what's been the deal in the first 4 games? Have they changed? Because Austin said, I pretty much failed in that regard last year. We need to get back to what makes him special. The first question with Minka is, what are they asking him to do? Have they changed how they're deploying him compared to last season?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you remember last season, they lost Keanu Neal to injury at one point, and then they started playing more DeMonte Casey, who he's built to be that center fielder too in the NFL. So Minka did have to do more of the traditional, call it strong safety role. They acquired Deshaun Elliott in free agency this year to put Minka back to kind of the deep third, the deep post of the field. And I think, you know, while the takeaways haven't been there through 4 games, again, that's a position where you can't really force it, but I also think quarterbacks are kind of avoiding him for the most part. We haven't seen teams really getting receivers behind the Steelers secondary, so I think that's a credit to Minka Fitzpatrick. But yeah, I mean, he is getting paid to sort of produce the takeaways no matter what, but that to me is the balance that this defensive staff has been trying to find with him since that incredible maiden voyage in 2019 and then the 2020 season for him is, Do we move him around and try to get him around the ball to take advantage of his ball hawking abilities, or do we keep him up top where he did have so much success earlier in his time here and make sure that, you know, our best, most instinctual player is the one who is the last line of defense against opposing quarterbacks? That's a tricky thing for any defensive coordinator. That's what Terrell Austin gets paid to do. And yeah, obviously Minkah needs to make sure he makes the plays when they do come to him, if they do.
Limits, may I engage Brian in a game of free association?
Oh, you know I will. Yes, 1,000% you can.
Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com. High 68 today with cloudy skies. Three words or less, Brian, preferably one. Cordarrelle Patterson will get half the carries this week.
No.
Cordarrelle Patterson
probably hurt.
Will play. Okay. Will he play?
Probably not.
Mount Washington will score a touchdown this week.
Probably not.
Who will have the bigger impact, Scotty Miller or Calvin Austin III?
Give me Calvin.
Nick Herbig is fine as a pass rusher, but he got exposed a little bit last week as a run defender.
Yeah, that's accurate.
That was a good answer, wasn't it? DeMarvin Leal is trending disturbingly fast toward bust.
Third round, sure.
Minkah will create a turnover this week.
Not against Dak.
Mm. Patrick Queen will have a big game.
Sure, sure, he will.
Broderick Jones played well against the Colts. Yes or no?
I'd say no.
Broderick Jones should stay off social media.
We all should.
Why, and you can expand on this one. Why did Mike Tomlin waste a timeout with 6:06 left in regulation, 6 minutes essentially, after the Steelers stopped the Colts on a third down, making it 4th and 5, and their kicker was coming out to attempt a 35-yard field goal? What on earth would prompt you to use a timeout there?
I guess he didn't want to keep that one in his hip pocket. But yeah, some strange decision-making from Tom. I thought the challenge on the Josh Downs catch was also very weird to me in the first half. I think it's worth revisiting what exactly is going on up in that booth, even though he declined to say last year when he was asked about it.
Do you like hot dogs, Brian? And has it concerned you over the years when people list the ingredients in a hot dog? Has it deterred you in any way, to borrow Bill Cowher's version of that word?
No, not really. I like hot dogs. I don't seek them out. But yeah, at a ball game or a high school concession stand, hot dogs to me are the best form of the food.
I disagree. I think the best form is on a grill, burnt. And I'm not saying you can't get that at a high school game, but I like hot dogs that are literally burnt to a crisp. And then I like them with light mustard, light ketchup, and relish, believe it or not. You?
Do you ever raw dog it? No condiments?
No.
Straight up hot dog?
No, no interest there.
I'll do that occasionally.
Limits?
That's the only way I eat my hot dog.
Raw?
No condiments. Oh. I like a nice hot dog cooked on a charcoal grill or a gas grill, whatever.
Reaction to that, Brian? You surprised to hear that?
A little, but like I said, I'm not totally opposed to it. City Limits just wants the pure smoked meat or grilled meat there, and appreciate the hot dog flavor for what it is.
Limits, are you concerned at all about the ingredients some people believe to be in hot dogs? Let's just get right down to it. There's horrible body parts involved.
Yes, because Mike put it out there, and I think it might have been Kabali. Somebody put out the actual ingredients of the hot dog. I read like the first two and stopped reading. I don't want to know. I really don't. I enjoy hot dogs. I don't want it to be ruined.
Brian, you get the last word here.
No, I mean, I'm not too worried about stuff like that. You know, I think you can look at a lot of like the frozen chicken and stuff that you get at grocery stores too,
yeah.
And it's like made with blah, 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 rib meat.
Right.
It is what it is. You know what you're signing up for there. But again, I'll just reiterate, hot dogs, not one of my favorite foods. I hardly ever seek them out. So it's kind of a, what does Tomlin say? A mute point.
Thank you, Brian.
You're welcome, guys. Have a nice day.
Brian Batko. Again, follow him at postgazette.com. What a man he's become, huh, Limits?
He's one of my favorites.
He really is good, isn't he? Especially at that game, free association. He's become very adept at that game.
A couple very incrinculant words, a couple good one-liners.
I should say so. So coming up at noon, we're going to toggle between Ben and Tomlin quotes. Just like the good old days when Ben would come on this station and do his show before the coach every week. It was truly magnificent. And they each said some interesting things. Tomlin at his news conference, and of course, Ben on his podcast, Footballin', which is outstanding stuff. Let's do that next. I know that Ben weighed in on the call on Minkah that has become a big story this week. I think it's also a big story that Minkah hasn't had an interception since Moby Dick was a minnow. Was that right? Was Moby Dick ever a minnow? Did you have to read Moby Dick in school?
Yes.
You did?
I did, yes.
What? I thought that was something out of the 70s when I went to school. You had to read Moby Dick. What do you remember about it?
AP English.
Yeah.
I read Moby Dick. And I remember just, there was a lot of sad parts of Moby Dick.
It was. It was really sad. Does Moby Dick die at the end?
I can't remember. I try to black out the bad the parts and the sad things and, you know, animal having harm done.
Yeah, I know.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.